We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone U. I'm your energetic host for today, Paul.
Yes, you are very energetic, Paul, and we love Paul's energy. And I'm Rob, and today is episode number 290. Thank you for listening in. We really appreciate you spending a few minutes of your day with us.
We absolutely do. And today, we have one of those questions. This is one of those things that really gets people fired up.
And gets us in trouble.
Fired up. No, I'm serious. People get on Facebook. I saw this even just yesterday. It happened to me. There was a guy who went into the Iris Plus owners group and said, hey, I need to register my drone. Should I do that? And three people were like, oh, yeah, you should do that. Do that. And I was like, all right, guys. In order for us to make educated decisions, we must understand both sides of the argument. That's the only way that you can really make a decision, whether it comes to politics, whether it comes to anything. You've got to know both sides of the issue, you know?
Always.
Does ginger actually help solve the problem of cancer, or does it not? Well, let's look at you know, both sides of the argument. So I presented...
That's a really interesting example.
Anyway, thank you. I've been interested in what helps you combat cancer.
Cool.
So anyway, that being said,
so you're just saying we gotta know both sides of the subject when it comes even to something like drone law.
Correct.
And whether or not you should register your drone.
Correct.
Clearly.
So I was telling the guy, well, understand that you know, in 2012, Congress said the FAA may not promulgate any rules against model aircraft. And they did just that with registration, but there's a bigger issue at hand with registration, and that they passed this law without a public comment period, which is a big no-no. And for me, you know, before we even go into the fact that, you know, it's illegal because Congress said don't do it, I mean, it's clear executive overreach and the fact that people are just bending over backwards and accepting it, taking it, you know, it bothers me because... You know, everything should be questioned. What is the effect on this? Is this the right way to do this? We have a system of law set up for checks and balances to ensure that these things do not happen.
Yep.
And when they do happen and people are too big of wusses to say anything about it, that's when I have an issue. And so I told the guy, I laid it out, you know, hey, they're being sued for this. It's illegal. You don't actually have to register. They're using fear to try to get people to register. And then another guy said, well, here in our Maui club in Hawaii, if someone comes with a drone who's not registered, you know, we tell him to turn around and he's got his tail between his legs. And I said, well, dude, this is about fun. This is not about what's right or what's wrong. And he's like, oh, no, I meant to say that when naysayers come in, we send them packing with their tail between their legs by showing them our FAA card. Why not educate those people? Why not calm those fears and say, you know, you may be fearful that we're spying on you. Here's our screen. You can see just how big a person is. Like, we don't really care, you know, about privacy issues. You have an opportunity to turn someone who has a negative perception on drones into a positive perception, but instead you just show a card because you're lazy.
Well, I don't even know if it's lazy. I think some people just like power trips. That's the sense that I get from that kind of a person.
And you know what? You know how they say beer is courage in a can to talk to people? The internet is courage in 10 cans. So, and you know,
that's
if this guy were face to face with me, I would tell him the same exact thing.
Of course.
And you know, I would just be like, look, dude, you really have to understand the legal side of this. So today's question of While I wait for actual regulations to fly, and why is it actual regulations? If you read John Rupert's drone book, he actually puts in there why so many people have an issue with the 333. He doesn't actually say this is why.
Right.
He says policy statements are things that regulatory agencies can make, and they can change like this, like the turn of a hat. It's, you know, it's an interpretation. And that's why a lot of people say, oh, the 333 is based off of a policy statement and interpretation. It's not based off of, like, you know, real law. That is the argument, and it's something that we talk about in our book. My bigger thing with 323 is that it's kind of hypocritical. It doesn't really solve the problem, because if you get a 333, you still have to stay 500 feet away from anything, which is useless. So that's my bit. But going back to the Facebook conversation with this dude, I finally laid out, you know, we've got to give people both sides of the story.
Sure.
And we have got to peacefully protest this. And he was like, well, I was peacefully protesting with my wife and that didn't work out. And I was like, probably like a lot of other things in your life, dude. Anyway, so just saying.
That's an interesting thing to bring into the mix there.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting,
too. Can we talk about drones here?
But I said, you know, well, you got to peacefully protest, you know, the government when they make missteps, because if not, then the missteps just amplify.
They add up, yeah.
Yeah. And I said, you know, well, I'm peacefully protesting. He's like, well, what are you doing about it? And I was like, well, you know, 80,000 people download our podcast, and I'm trying to clear the air through that.
Edumacate.
Absolutely. That's right. And he was like, well, why don't, when you actually do something, you know, come back to me. And I'm like,
you know what?
Really?
Honestly, there's no
time
to be wasted on that conversation, Paul.
That's true.
And I know it's really, really easy to get drawn into that because, well,
I'm a passionate person.
You're a passionate person, and you like see somebody that you're gonna go after, and I totally understand that. And it's because you care about the industry.
You know what? It's time for a fly off.
fair enough. I don't think he would want any part of that. But anyways,
I think he would lose.
Certainly there's a point at which you just got to withdraw and say, yeah, all right, dude,
it's true.
Do your thing.
And the reason I'm saying this on the podcast is because I feel so much that we have got to educate people, because in the world of the internet, in today's day and age, there's so much subjective information out there. And, you know, just like Napoleon Hill, one thing that people will give out more easily than anything else is opinions, and they're the least valuable thing possible. I'm not trying to give people my opinion. I'm trying to give people the facts. So...
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those situations where if, in fact, we believed, you believed, whatever, that it is law and it's legitimate, we would not be telling people to not do something.
Correct.
We would be saying, this is the law.
Mm-hmm.
You need to follow it.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at.
Can I speak positively about the FAA
Please.
For a second?
No. What have you done? Where'd Paul go?
Okay, so I have been working with the Mexican authorities on getting a...
It's not the FAA, Paul.
I know it's not.
Oh, you're getting there.
I'm getting
okay,
there.
Okay, my bad.
I've been working with the Mexican authorities on getting a special permit for flying a larger class drone. And it has been a real challenge.
Which, by the way, is an example of Paul following the rules.
All right. So there's systems that are in place. It's really difficult to get a hold of someone. The phone numbers don't work. And there's no, like, formal online permitting process, or there's no formal process. So one thing I will give you, the FAA, is that once you do set up your systems, they work. They really do work. And, you know, you guys are, how do I say this, hard line about making them work.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why. I get it. You know, the whole registration thing, why it's so hard to register the paper form, because you have to get it perfectly right. Well, you know what? The system works. And that's something that we've got to be grateful for. And I'm just trying to stay positive. Tell the FAA, look, guys, let's just move forward together as a collective. Let's stop dividing. Let's stop dividing and conquering. Let's remember what this is all about. Let's move forward and let's make this a great place to fly.
Fun and safety? Is that what it's all about?
Safety and fun.
Safety
Which
and
is
fun?
Another argument that guy was like, well, you got to fly responsibly. It's like, yeah, but filling out an online form does not mean you're going to fly responsibly.
Yeah, nobody's debating that. And again, you just got to withdraw from that conversation.
Yeah. So let's get into today's question. Again, if you have a question, go to askadroneu.com. And today's question is brought to you by... Are you a drone pilot? Are you operating under a Section 333 exemption? Then you may be familiar with Item 27, which requires you to get a property release for every flight over property.
Legal Flyer is an app for iPhone and iPad that helps you create professional property releases in less time than it takes to do a pre-flight check.
You can add your pilot info, you can sign in, hand it to the property owner for their signature. But wait a second. Legal Flyers advanced integration automatically adds latitude, longitude, and even altitude.
Then add a panorama straight from the app. Everything drops into a single page PDF you can share with a single tap. It's compliance at light speed. Visit LegalFlyer.com for more information or get it straight from the App Store. Legal Flyer, property releases for professional drone pilots.
What's going on, Drone U? This is David from Florida again. First and foremost, wanted to show a little gratitude and appreciation for everything you've done for the drone community, all the knowledge you've shared with us, and specifically myself. I wouldn't be where I am today, flying responsibly, and I wouldn't be as successful with my business if it wasn't for you. So thank you, thank you. My question for you today has to do with a ongoing topic and stems from one of your more recent podcasts, touching on the topic again of, do you need a 333 to operate commercially, legally? So it seems like your stance has shifted a little towards, maybe you should get one, but you don't need one. It's not illegal to operate commercially without one, as long as you're flying responsibly and staying within the FAA suggested guidelines. My question to you is, what do I say to people that question my operations? I always give them some rambling jargon that, and drop as much knowledge as I can on them, explaining to them that it's not legal and it's not illegal. It's a little bit of a gray area. We're waiting for actual regulation that's specific to flying drones and that doesn't necessarily require a pilot's license and isn't a rushed regulation that frankly just wasn't thought out and isn't quite fair. So what would you recommend in the shortest way possible and most confident way? What can I say to people to let them know and convince them and educate them of why what I'm doing is legal and the steps that I will be taking to ensure that it is legal moving forward. I am fully insured, liability and accidental, so I use that as well as, you know, part of what I say. So any advice, any suggestions, just a short and easy, what's the actual true legality of it, and what do we have to look forward to, and what regulations might be coming in the near future that I can touch on. So thanks again, and I look forward to...
First things first, awesome compliment. Love that. We've helped his business. We've helped him. That makes me feel empowered. But before we say what we think, why don't we hear what the president has to think?
Americans have been very interested to hear about this drone that landed in the White House, in your backyard, where you and your family lives. Are you confident that you understand how you would prevent the next one from being armed?
Well, this is a broader problem. I'll leave the Secret Service to talk about this particular event. But I've actually asked the FAA and a number of agencies to examine how are we managing this new technology. Because the drone that landed in the White House, you buy in Radio Shack. You know that there are companies like Amazon that are talking about using small drones to deliver packages. There are incredibly useful functions that these drones can play in terms of farmers who are managing crops and conservationists who want to take stock of wildlife. So there are a whole range of things we can do with it, but we don't really have any kind of regulatory structure at all for it. So I've assigned some of the relevant agencies to start talking to stakeholders and figure out how we're going to put an architecture in place that makes sure that these things aren't dangerous and that they're not violating people's privacy. In some ways, Fareed, this is similar to what's happened in cyberspace. these technologies that we're developing had the capacity to empower individuals in ways that we couldn't even imagine 10, 15 years ago.
Now, let's hear what Senator Feinstein has to say when she was addressing the FAA in a Senate committee meeting.
Committee, we serve in a different capacity where we see harm, dramatic harm, that can be done by drones and the re-rigging of drones and those drones falling into some very bad hands. So this is a new industry. It is an unregulated industry. You do not have the authority. It is an unregulated industry. You do not have the authority currently to do anything to see that that does not happen. And this is of serious and grave concern to me.
Interesting little bits there, Rob.
Very interesting. I think it, I don't know, it's pretty clear from their standpoint.
I think it's very clear. I think, you know, you could show that to people, but I think an even more valiant point is, let me ask you this. If flying commercially was illegal, then why would you be able to get insurance to do it?
Now, that's a really good point, because ultimately that's what's most important, right, is that you are insured in case something happens.
And we tell all of our members, guys, you got to be insured if you're flying no matter what. Even if you're flying commercially waiting for your 333, if you don't intend on getting one and you're waiting for 107, whatever you're doing, insurance is not one of those things that you can just like, oh, I'll get that. But also understand this. The AMA is selling insurance as well at Best Buy. They're selling insurance at anywhere you can find a drone now. Understand this. And I'm glad someone, thanks to Peter Diss for pointing this out, if you actually go through the exclusions of those policies where they tout $2.5 million, they say if you're using FPV gear, they will not cover your accident.
And pretty much you're always using FPV gear, right?
If you're flying a Phantom, you're using FPV gear. If you're flying a Solo, you're using FPV gear. If you're flying any commercial drone over $800, you are using FPV gear.
Right.
If you're flying a mini quad, you're using FPV gear. I mean, that is like the concrete example. So, guys,
so basically, really quick, anything that you're not using FPV gear for, you probably don't need insurance. Like a Sima, for example, right?
That is a very good point, Rob. Is that why we haven't insured the Sima?
You're assuming it's not insured.
It's insured?
I am taking care of that little baby. No. I'm kidding. It is not insured. Of course not.
But all the other drones are insured, just to clarify. That being said, you know, if you ask an airline pilot, right, you go to American Airlines, Delta, you're about to hop on board of an aircraft, ask the pilot, who's in control of the aviation industry? Is it the FAA or is it the insurance companies? Seriously.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. I wonder what they'd say. I think we're assuming they'd say insurance, but I don't know if that's
well,
true.
Well, like, let's say you have an infraction with the FAA, right? You got 30 days to present your materials to FISDO. Keep flying, right?
Right.
Now, let's say you have an issue with your insurance company. Are you going to fly with 100 people on your plane across the United States?
Probably not. Yeah.
Probably
I just don't
not.
Know if that's how they would answer, if they think of it in those terms.
Well, Sarah's uncle's pilot. He said the same thing. I've heard it from four different airline pilots who've said that same thing. So,
interesting.
You know, I have my rule of three. You know, if the first person says your dad is mean, your dad is not
Thank
mean.
Thank you for toning it down.
You're welcome. If two people say your dad is mean, your dad is not mean. But if three people say your dad is mean,
he's a jerk.
So that's my rule of threes. I actually learned that from a headhunter. And it's worked. I mean, she taught me that. She said, if I had to give you one lesson before college, it's this. And it's worked every time. So,
yeah, no, definitely. I mean, confirmation is a good thing.
Totally.
So in terms of David's question, I'm thinking in my mind of it as like an elevator pitch. Have you come up with anything that is a succinct way of explaining to somebody why you're okay and why they don't need to worry?
It comes down to insurance. It comes down to, too, I point out the whole policy statement that's in John's book. I point out the fact that the FAA defines drones in three or four different places, two to three different ways. And that's in John's book, too. And just really showcase that, you know, the FAA is harping on safety. They're harping on responsibility. And for a long time, there was a voluntary commitment to staying so far away from an airport. There was a voluntary commitment to not flying over people. There was a voluntary commitment to flying line of sight, not over 400 feet. But those were all voluntary commitments. Those were back in when AC 9157 was still valid before AC 9157A, which I find funny. That being said, I do showcase in my presentations all the time, like, you know,
right.
Here's what the law says. Here's the basis of that law. Here's what Congress said. Here's what the president said. Here's what Feinstein said. Now, and then I bring in the insurance point because a client, what do they want to know? What do they really want to know, Rob?
Well, I think they want to know that they're safe, that they're not going to lose money.
They're not going to be held liable.
Right.
Liability.
Exactly.
Right.
Thank you.
That's what they want to know. So liability is what it comes down to. We recorded on episode 100 and episode 140, Jim Williams from the UAS division of the FAA, who has since retired. But he did say in a meeting with Leslie Walker of NAR that, you know, she asked, you know, is there any liability to a realtor if they hire someone with a 333 or without a 333? And he very clearly said there is no liability to the realtor. So,
which is, by the way, what the realtors were being told and which was scaring them away from using drone pilots.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that that episode got as many downloads as it did because National Association of Realtors did put out that you still need a 333, even though that was openly said in a conference meeting. So it goes back to say, you know, you've got to investigate your sources. You have got to take everything a level deeper than skin deep in order to fully understand what's going on. And that's what we really hope to do here is provide information that will, you know, allow you to make decisions. Now, in our book, when we talk about should you get a 333, should you not, we talk about it from a business aspect. We don't talk about it from we do talk about it from a legal aspect, but we also talk about it from a business aspect, which from a business aspect, we believe you should get one. Because from a business aspect, number one, it's easier to market. Number two, you're not wasting as much time explaining to people this exact thing. Also say it's much easier to market broadly. So if you're doing, billboards, if you're doing stuff, which people are doing, you're not going to have any kickback. You know, that you can say, here's my exemption number on there. And you're not going to get any phone calls from anybody.
Right.
It's a more stress-free way to go. Does that mean, you know, you're not in it for the fight? No, that's not what it means at all. It just means that you're saying, all right, the perception has changed a little bit. But the thing is, you know, the more Fortune 100, the more Fortune 200 companies I meet with, it's a very different tone than what I have read online. Very, very different.
How so?
I'm not going to say the name of the company, but there's a very large engineering firm based out of Colorado who told me we're familiar with the 333. We're familiar with the process. We're familiar with the laws that Congress has passed, and we're familiar with the framework as a whole. And in our mind, we're willing to take the risk, and we're willing to say, we'll hire someone with or without. We have our own drones. We may just hire someone so that the liability is not on us.
Mm-hmm.
But we got a job to do, and we don't have time for people to sit around a table who don't fly drones and tell us how to do it.
Well, so. And I think that shows just how unclear it is as to whether it's just the whole legality aspect of it. If it was clearly illegal, companies like that with the teams of attorneys that they have, they would not be making that decision.
Yeah, I agree. And again, it comes down to liability. I mean, I think that is the question right there, is the liability. Now, does the pilot have liability? They have a lot more liability if they have a pilot's license. I'll tell you that.
That's interesting.
So
very interesting.
By the way, I've got some news on that. Looks like we may be working and partnering with a new pilot license school.
Cool.
So that our members will have a nice, direct, clean route to getting their pilot's license if they want to be pilot in command for TV shows, for movies, for things with their 333. So we are streamlining that process.
One of the other things David asked about was upcoming legislation. Not too much new there. Still waiting on 107, the micro drone stuff.
Let me ask you a question, Rob.
You can ask me a question?
Yeah. If you had a girlfriend, and I know you don't have a girlfriend. I know you have a wife for 25
years. I do have a girlfriend. I've just been with her for 25 years.
Okay. Let's take that out.
Okay.
That doesn't exist. All right. You have a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She's cheated on you 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe her that she's going to say, I'm not going to cheat on you again?
Well, I don't have a girlfriend then.
So when people ask me, do you think the FAA is actually going to come out with Part 107? Like I said before, it's going to take a task force. The task force is convening April 1st. They're talking about how to fly drones over people.
I don't even know. I still don't know what to think about that whole deal.
Well, if you actually like read through the whole thing, they finally mention like two paragraphs deep. This is all about micro UAS. So it's just funny how the media spins stuff and how the FAA wrote that. And it's the media. What are you going to do? You know?
So for David's purposes and his question's purposes, the environment that we're in, it probably isn't going to change anytime soon. That's the bottom line.
Let me clarify this. I have no expectations that it's going to change.
Yeah, certainly.
So, and that's something that, you know, these pilots are asking me too. They're like, how long do you think we're going to be training new drone pilots? I said for the next 12 to 24 months, and I said even when the 107 does come out, there are people in the industry that are trying to ensure that the very lucrative jobs are still done by people who hold a pilot's license. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be value to it. Another thing, too, is that you know a 333 holder can fly at night if it's in their exemption. Hmm. Part 107 cannot. There are benefits to having the 333 once the 107 comes out, and there will be very real laws that the FAA can enforce and that, you know, things will happen. But another thing I want to mention too, you know, a lot of people have been struck into this fear, right? This fear that if you don't register your drone, if you fly without a 333 exemption number, that someone is coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be the case. We actually, thanks to my law enforcement friends, ding. we actually were given the documentation that the FAA sent out to all police stations across the country
mm-hmm.
on what to do. And one police officer in a different state told me, Paul, when someone robs a bank, does local police investigate it? And I was like, well, local police is on the news there. He's like, only to lock down the scene. Who investigates that? And I'm like, the FBI? Mm-hmm. And he's like, exactly, because it is a federal offense. He's like, I do not enforce federal offenses. I enforce state statutes, city ordinances when I choose to. And,
depending on how egregious the crime.
Yeah, and county laws. He's like, I do not have the authority to enforce federal rules. And he's like, so with this form that says, oh, you see someone flying drones, make sure they have a registration number if they don't file a report, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you know how many reports I write every day? You think I want to write more of them?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, just paint that scenario. So Mr. Police Officer walks up to Mr. Drone Pilot and says, let me see your IN number
mm-hmm.
or your registration. And the guy says, don't have one. Then what?
Yeah, so
take them to jail.
That's not happening. What I was told is that they write a report.
So they write a report. They're not going to write a ticket. Like, well, that box isn't on my little ticket pad.
From what I've been told, from what I've been told, 90% of police officers are not going to take the time to do it. Again, because there's also a lot of other crime that's going on right now. People are not aware of the height in crime right now. The whole media and all the racist issues and has really divided this country. And there is a significant rise in crime right now. And what I was told by a different agency is that simply we don't have the time to enforce this.
Yeah.
So now this officer very blatantly told me, I can't say that in public, but you have a podcast. You talk to people every day. People listen to you every day. And I want you to tell the people that this is the reality of the situation. So will I get in trouble for that? Maybe. Do I care? No, because I really want I just want both sides of the story out there because manipulating people into doing things based out of fear has been wrong for years, and it's been wrong. It's caused wars. It's caused very ludicrous, heinous crimes. And guys, we want safety too, but we just need a solid framework to get there. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
Cool.
Does that really sum it up? Did I talk too much?
No, I mean...
Are you sure?
You certainly, no. You didn't talk any more than normal, so, and I don't mean that in a bad way at all. So hopefully we answer David's questions. I know because he was really looking for kind of a succinct, what do I say? And it's not quite that simple, I'm guessing. I mean, you kind of gave him some bullet points that he needs to look into and come up with his own 60-second elevator pitch, essentially. Mm-hmm. Is that a good assessment?
So what I would do is I would take this video and I would mark it where you can see the president and the senator say what they have to say. And then I would also go into podcast 100 or 140 and get that little soundbite of Mr. Jim Williams. Because, I mean, you hear it from the horse's mouth. So it's like you can't argue with the horse's mouth. That's all I got to say.
And I get that, but we've not done that. That's not how you would necessarily handle a situation.
Yeah, no.
You, like, literally have it on your phone
and
you just show them?
I literally have it in my phone, yeah.
Okay, cool. So, awesome.
I mean, you got to download it to your phone, though. Don't expect to have it on YouTube. So download it. You can download a YouTube video, by the way, to play offline. So
cool.
Just so you know. I hope that answers the question. That may piss off a lot of people. It is what it is. So a lot of people are like, well, you're not for safety if you're not promoting registration. No, I am for safety because let me ask you this question. What does registration do for safety? Awkward silence. All right.
Indeed.
If you have a drone question, go to askdroneu.com, upload that question. We want to see it. We want to hear it. We want to hear your accents. Got some cool stuff coming up. Got a question, another 333 question. Big surprise. We also have one about workflow, transferring large footage and how to do that properly. I will say there is some new technology that's coming out that we actually have the privilege to test, which is a wireless SSD drive where you can share footage between collaborators within a workspace seamlessly, easily than, say, a Drobo or an FTP server. A lot of people use Dropbox. You know, a lot of people use those things, but you've got to be careful with Dropbox because I made this mistake one time. I sent someone a link to a folder, and it gave that person access to like 100 other folders that they should not have had access to.
Oops.
So there are things you got to be careful for. We're going to talk about workflow. Again, we're here to help you. We're here for safety. We are here for responsibility. We're here because we love flight. We hope you love flight too. And we hope that through you, we can progress this industry or through this podcast. If you think someone should hear this last podcast, share it. We would love it. If you would take the time to write us a review on iTunes, we would love that too. Wherever you listen to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, leave us a review. Guys, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.